Time now on our pregame show to visit with Tom Cerutori, head coach of the Beavers. Tom, the game last night had so many ebbs and flows and twists and turns, and I didn't see a lot of flinch from your guys. You got to be happy with how they've responded to every little bit of adversity they've had this year.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it was a tough game yesterday. I mean, we're on the road and a big game. I thought our guys, they stood pretty tall. You know, we gave up a couple two-goal leads, but again, it's we were the road team. They had good push, and it was a heck of a hockey game.
First goal last night, great pass by Jackson Jetting through the neutral zone to Austin Jopie. He's finally been healthy. Have you thought to yourself at all throughout the course of this year, man, if only he could have been healthy his first 3 years, because he's turning out to be a pretty consistent player for you.
For sure. He's playing really well right now, and he's a veteran. He's experienced. He knows what to expect. He knows how we want him to play. He knows how to play. So a lot of times it just takes experience. And again, he's having a really, really good year for us.
Second period's when some of the goofy stuff started happening. It starts with Dante's goal. Seen many goals scored with the guy sliding where literally on replay review you can't tell what in the heck it hit?
No, exactly. And again, I watched it a couple times too, and it was really hard to figure out.
Case of Dante's job is to get to the net. He did, and good things happen, right?
For sure. I mean, we talk about having a good net presence, and I think it's one of the best years we've had as far as our guys buying into that. And anytime you're sitting in front of that net, I mean, look at the National Hockey League. Sometimes what we do is we see those one-timer goals or those beautiful goals, but 75% of the goals in the National Hockey League are pucks that hit the blue paint, and that's where we were, and good things happen when you're in that area.
If I'm remembering correctly, four out of their five goals last night were rebounds or second chances or just, you know, puck battles where they get to a puck. It's not often you can say a goalie plays pretty darn well when you give up five, but I thought Matisse played pretty darn well last night. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I thought he played well too. And again, it was just one of those games last night.
More with Coach Cerutori when we come back. Corner Bar pregame show continues right here on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part two with head coach Tom Cerutori. I want to talk a little bit about 3-on-3 and how it's kind of evolved here over the last couple of years, Tom. You've referred to it as gimmicky hockey. There's a reason the playoffs don't use it. But to me, I'm seeing a lot more tactics and a lot more absolute, definitive, I'm going to make a move to make you counter move, and I'm going to then counter off of that. Are guys getting a lot smarter in how they're playing 3-on-3?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, obviously, you can watch these games, and sometimes they don't. But I think when they have time, I don't think there's any questions. Sometimes, they support the puck well. They bring it back. They build up speed. They know when they're going against a forward, you know, those types of things. But, again, it's back and forth all the time, Schultz. You could talk to me one other game, and you could talk to another coach, and there's going to be some mistakes that are being made too. So it goes back. It goes both ways.
Spend some talk in the NHL of once a team gets the puck in the zone across the blue line, that the red line now becomes the blue line. To me, that's going to stretch a defense even more and give an offense a lot more chances. Does the offense need more chances in 3-on-3?
I don't think it's the opposite. I think what happened, I think they're hoping for turnovers, Schultze, so that's why. It's not about chances for the offensive team. It's turnovers for the other team and be able to counter. And there's even talk about not even letting them go outside the zone. So there's two things they're looking at. Number one, once you enter the zone, you cannot bring the puck back out of the zone, or do you use the red line as the blue line like you just mentioned? So I'd like to see one or two of those changes as well. I think it's probably good tactically, because I think you are going to start seeing more turnovers and it'll be a little more interesting.
Is it a case where college hockey is pretty much just going to follow what the NHL is doing?
100%, we will. So whatever, if they do make that change, I'm sure we make that change.
You're now seeing players not only just bring the puck back out to get a good line change as opposed to bad line changes, which we don't see nearly as many bad line changes in 3-on-3 anymore. But you're seeing guys bring the puck all the way back behind their own net. And I got to thinking, I'm like, well, why in the heck would they do that? They're giving up so much real estate. Is it like football where the red zone gets so compact and so tight that it's hard to make anything happen, where now you're going to make a team defend 200 feet, where if you turn the puck over, you only have to defend 50 or 60?
Yeah, you're right on there, Schultze. And I think, too, why you bring it back is that you do. You want a good line change, and now you're allowing those guys on the, you know, who line change, you're allowing them to really build up speed and create some separation with, you know, the opposing team that's defending them.
Game-winning goal last night was scored that way. Also scored with a lot of lateral movement. You're seeing more of that. is that just to stretch the defense apart and get them to be not so compact where it's a little easier to get behind them?
For sure. Well, speed's going to back you off. That's number one, especially 3-on-3. So it's hard to get, you can't establish a gap. So once your speed backs them off, now you've got that little soft gap where you can go east-west, and Judge did that last night. And, again, that was against one of their forwards. And that's the one dilemma sometimes when you have forwards out there is that they have a hard time taking the rush.
Was looking through every league team's home and road records. There's only one team with a winning road record this year. That's Minnesota State. They're, I think, a game over 500. They're at 500, though, at home. You're the only team in double digits at home, yet you've got only four road wins. One last night, one a couple weeks ago in Northern. You're certainly trending in the right direction. Why is that gap between home and road so extreme this year? Where, I mean, it's always extreme, but to me it's more so this year than most.
I don't know, Schultz. I can't answer that question. It's always to me, it's always difficult on the road, but I can't tell you again if it's one way or another. Is it worse this year or not? I mean, you're the stat guy, so if it is, I just can't. That's a tough one to answer.
How can you make this game 3-1 tonight instead of 6-5?
Sometimes these games take on a life of their own, and that's, you just hope that you end up on the winning team, and we did last night. And again, who knows? I mean, tonight could be just a